Education of Girls. Girls' education has time and again been shown to be one of the decisive entry points into the demographic transition. Girls' education has multiple effects, all leading in the same direction: lower fertility. There is the most direct effect. Girls in school, notably in secondary school, are likely to remain unmarried until a later age, and therefore are likely to begin child-rearing much later than girls without schooling. Of course, the content of education matters as well. Girls can and should be educated about sexual and reproductive health and about the options for contraception. They can learn to analyze the quality-quantity trade-off in the size of families and thereby overcome pre-existing cultural biases more easily. This is critical, since the cultural assumptions may have developed under a set of demographic conditions, for example, very high child mortality rates, that are no longer applicable. Girls' education will empower them as young women to negotiate more effectively with their spouses, including the issue of family size. Last, and perhaps most important for the long term, education empowers women in the labor market, raising the value of their time by imparting labor market skills. The more skilled the mother, the higher will be her value in the labor market, and the higher will be the opportunity cost, or foregone market earnings, of the time devoted to child rearing. Women with a high market value, and thus a high opportunity cost of time spent in child-rearing, on average, choose to have fewer children. There is very likely to be another more subtle effect. Female education will also raise the future market earnings of daughters. This, in turn, will reduce the preference for sons, which often prevails in low-income settings. When a household is aiming for 3 sons, it will need to have 6 children on average, half girls and half boys. If the household decides instead that it wants 3 children of any gender mix, it can reduce fertility by half and still achieve its objective. As son preference diminishes, therefore, the overall fertility rate will fall as well. Empowerment of women. Empowerment of women through legal protection, for example, against violence, property rights, land and inheritance, microfinance, lending for small businesses, and in the labor market, non-discrimination, serves double duty. When women are empowered, they have greater opportunities in the labor market. This leads them to shift from quantity to quality in child-rearing because of the much higher opportunity cost of the mother's time. Husbands are also much more likely to agree to fewer children when their wives are money earners in the labor market. This kind of empowerment is also likely to strengthen the mother's bargaining power vis-à-vis the husband in case of a difference of opinion between the spouses. Access to reproductive health services. Even when households would prefer to reduce fertility, they need reproductive health services, including family planning and contraception, in order to turn aspirations into reality. Yet in large parts of Africa and other very poor regions, health services do not reach the households. Families cannot afford contraception at the prices that are charged, and they lack access to clinics where the contraceptive services would be obtained. Social marketing schemes, in which poor households are granted access to contraception at subsidized prices, may work in some poor settings, but they often exclude the poorest of the poor, who have no money, even when the subsidized prices are quite low. Experience has shown, moreover, that while a clinic in a village can make a huge difference, additional door-to-door outreach to households by trained community health workers can be decisive. Many women in poor societies are not empowered enough within their communities to travel to public clinics to seek health care. When outreach health workers come to them, however, they may be able to make critical choices within the privacy of their own households. Green Revolution. A boost in farm productivity has 2 effects, one self-evident and a second one that is a bit more subtle. The direct effect is to raise the value of the farmer's time, who in most cases in Africa is the mother. The higher value of the mother's time, in turn, induces the household to shift to fewer children and higher investment per child, along with the quality-quantity trade-off. The second effect is to raise the economic benefits of keeping children in school for additional years. When farmer communities are working with improved technologies, they are more likely to benefit from extra schooling. Thus, when a community is introduced to Green Revolution technology, it benefits the community to keep the children in school for more education. Yet this extra schooling is costly for the parents. so they in turn will choose to have fewer children and to provide more education for each child. Once again, the household moves toward quality and away from quantity. India's Green Revolution was a spur to reduced fertility rates in the districts covered by the high-yield technologies. The same can and should happen in Africa. Urbanization. One common observation is that urban households tend to have fewer children than rural households, holding constant other socioeconomic characteristics of the households. Children are economic assets in rural areas because they help with the farm chores from an early age. In the cities, however, children are generally a much greater net cost, with little compensating contribution to home production. While urbanization is not a policy target per se, the trend to urbanization is likely to be a factor in speeding the demographic transition.